Well, welcome back to another episode this week of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I am thrilled because this has been an amazing week that we have seen here at Providence, and it was an amazing weekend. What a Sunday. It's just so exciting that we got to talk about the purpose of our church and how God is just continually leading us and moving us forward, and just to be able to experience together the growth that we are seeing here at the church, but also just the ability to fellowship together and enjoy each other's company. So what an amazing homecoming service. I am so excited for everything that we collected and everybody that showed up. Those gifts are going to help with missions in North Carolina. They're also going to be helping with our age grade ministries here at the church. And so all of those things directly go to impact the gospel reach within our state and within the community. So just thank you so much for that. And with that in mind, let me give you a couple quick things of just some stuff that's going on. Don't forget that at the end of this month, on the 31st, our youth are going to be hosting the annual trunk or treat here at the church. So we want you guys to sign up for that. We'd love to see the parking lot full of cars that are excited about getting decorated and handing out candy to kids in the community. We're going to be pushing this event more this year in the coming weeks. And so just be prepared for that. But it's going to be an exciting time to come together. I'll be honest, you can bring your car, but if you want to bring your tractor, I don't care what you bring, honestly. You can, well, maybe I do care. Like, you might not want to bring your boat, but that, I don't know, that could be cool. Anyway, so however you want to decorate and whatever you want to do for trunk or treat, man, I'm excited about it. And, but just get signed up. I think it's going to be a cool time, and I hope that you guys are thrilled for that and getting excited about it. Also, one of the things that I've been playing around with here at the church is trying to find intentional times where our church can come together and just enjoy quiet moments of worship. If you remember, not this past summer, summer before, we were able to lead out in a time of prayer and worship on Wednesday nights, praying for our community, praying for the people of our community. We would sing some songs and spend some time in intentional prayer. And I want to do that, but in a little bit more modern setting, I guess is a better way to describe it. Part of that is just being able to come together quietly as a church, to read scripture over one another, to pray for one another, but mainly to sing songs that just praise God for being so good. And so we're going to attempt this on November 17th at 5 p.m. So November 17th at 5 p.m., we're going to do a family night of worship. And this is just where everyone in the family can come together. And we're just going to spend time singing. We're going to spend time praising God for being good. And I hope that you would consider coming out. It's going to be led just by me, honestly. And I feel like as something that's on my heart, it's important for me to lead out in that way. And then as we kind of decide about moving forward with them, we'll be able to hand the pieces of that off to people. But for right now, we just want to spend that time in worship and prayer. So November 17th, Sunday, that Sunday at 5, please make plans to attend that. All right. So coming off the heels of yesterday, I thought it'd be important for this episode to spend some time talking a little bit more about purpose and attention and what that looks like here at Providence, but also what it looks like in our personal lives. And if you would, then grab your cup of coffee. If you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel. But if you're just at home, or maybe if you are driving and you're feeling a little bit brave today, grab a cup of coffee, take a sip, and we're going to get started. All right. I did have one comment that came through about me sipping my coffee. And they said, do you have to sip it so loud? And to the person who sent it, you know who you are. And yes, I do. But today's coffee is just a simple run of the mill, buy it off the shelf type coffee. I ran out at home. And so I just kind of drank whatever we had here at the church. Still pretty good though. When you use the ratios that they give you, I find it to be very refreshing. You can use the standard ratio, which is 2 tablespoons for every 6 ounces. And some of you are like already gasping because you're like, that's what I use for a whole pot of coffee. 2 tablespoons every 6 ounces is a standard. If you want to get into the measuring part, you can measure grams and milliliters. Usually the ratios are 116, 117, and 118. That means one part to 16 parts. And so it maths, I promise it maths. So for instance, when I do a pour over, I'm doing 300 milliliters of water and around 18 grams of coffee. And it turns out pretty decent. So that's just some little fun facts for you. Make your coffee however you like it, honestly, because it's you, the one that's drinking it. You don't have to drink it the way I drink it. But if you want to get deeper into the math of it, there are recipes for coffee out there, and I encourage you look them up. So with all that stuff in mind, that's kind of an overload. Let's talk a little bit about purpose and attention. So last week we spent, or I say last week, yesterday we spent some time looking at the purpose and attention of providence. And this was something that we developed over really the beginning or the end of the summer, coming into the fall. We spent some time kind of developing the purpose of what providence is and what our desire is and what that's looking like. And many of you may have been absent from those conversations, and I get it and I understand it's kind of hard to fit everything in where you need to. But I was very excited and very surprised with how many people showed up to talk about the purpose of providence and to engage that conversation. And it's nice for them to know that, hey, that didn't go on deaf ears, but it really did hit close to home. And one of our goals was to send out as much information as we could to receive back a way that we could communicate the purpose of providence to everyone else. And through that process, we handed out cards with information that people can mark up. We sent out a massive email to our entire email system. And the people that were interested in filling that form out and sending it in, sent in information. And it was so good to kind of clarify that statement a little bit. But really, kind of the heart of what we were doing is when we read yesterday in Philippians chapter 2, we looked at the story that Paul writes to the church at Philippi, talking really about Christian humility and unity and humbling ourselves and coming together to make sure that each one is taken care of. But really the goal of there that he asks for is that we are of one mind and of one purpose and even one vision. We want this unity that comes from knowing the gospel together and being in community together. And so it's important that as we are moving together and unifying ourselves together, that we also craft and create a statement in such a way that reminds us of what our purpose and what our passion should be. So over a period of those weeks, what we did is we came together on those Wednesday nights and we began the process of developing a statement, and then we shifted it. We adjusted it some. I gave people the opportunity to provide feedback on making adjustments to it. And then through that, we had four options that were presented to us. And what we did is we took those four options, we put them on cards, and we also put them online, and we gave cards to Wednesday night and individuals, and then we also submitted a link online through email where people could go to Google Forms and they could fill out and submit and rank the statements as they felt were most appropriate. We had over 70 submissions come in for this, and so I'm excited about that. And with that, there was an extremely clear winner with, I think it was 29 plus 23, with over 30 of those submissions that came in, indicating that this was the statement that they felt was more appropriate for providence moving forward. And so, as we talked about yesterday, that statement simply is this: to glorify God by building relationships with Jesus, sharing his love by reaching into our church and reaching out to our community. Isn't that so good? Let me say that again. To glorify God by building relationships with Jesus, sharing his love by reaching into our church and reaching out to our community. What I love about that statement is the way that it breaks down the priorities of providence. Number one, you see that the first priority there is giving God glory. As a unified church and a unified family, we want to make sure that the most important thing that we do moving forward is to glorify God. And I find this most evident too when you read our bulletin each week, and whoever is donating flowers, the altar flowers for that week, They always give those flowers to the glory of God and in memory of somebody. But we may think of it as like, yeah, okay, people always give flowers to the glory of God. But what if it's not that? What if the reality is people truly want to give those flowers to the glory of God? And they're so just apt to be able to decorate our church, even in that small way, because they want to give God glory. I mean, how amazing is that? That our desire as a church body is always to make sure that we're glorifying God in everything that we do. And one of the ways that we talk about in that statement of doing that is by building relationships with Jesus. We desperately want to see people build relationships with Jesus. We want to see our friends build relationships, our neighbors, people in our church. We want to see the relationships that people make be important enough that we can step beside them and help disciple them and grow them so that they are becoming more like Christ every single day. But it's not just that. If you read a little bit further in there, it talks about one of the ways in which we intend to do that is by sharing his love. We want to be a community that shares the love of Jesus. This speaks very much into one of our core values, which is being a welcoming church. Our desire is to be a welcoming church where when people come in, they feel automatically like they're a part of what's going on, that they don't have to try to fit in, that there's not a group that they have to attach to, or there's not something that they have to be a part of. But from the initial onset of just being in this place, that they feel like they are a part. And so by sharing his love, we're also creating that community within our church, and we're creating that welcoming environment. But more than that, we're also desperately trying to see our community come to relationship with Jesus. So we want to share the love of Christ in our life with those around us in order that many might build relationships with him. And so we're glorifying God. We're building relationships with Jesus, sharing his love in two ways. By number one, reaching into our church. This is a big piece because sometimes what happens is we get so focused outside, we forget to look inside. But in order for us to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ, we must at some point focus in on the inside of who we are, in the inside of our church. And we must desperately say, how can I grow in my relationship with Christ? How can the church come alongside me and help me grow in my relationship with Christ? And I'm so excited because this summer we had our men's Bible study that met in the morning, and it was awesome. And we're planning on doing that again, hopefully soon, just meeting with them and discussing things. But we're doing evangelism trainings now. We're training people and helping them grow in their confidence of being able to share the love of Jesus. That's investment that happens inside the walls. We're also seeing classes that are doing extracurricular Bible studies throughout the week. We are seeing students who are going through evangelism training. We're seeing kids that are hearing the gospel and they're talking about it with their friends and they're getting baptized because they're talking about it. All of these things are pulling together and are happening because we are desperately reaching into one another to encourage one another, equip one another, and help one another grow in that relationship with Jesus. So we're sharing the love of Christ by reaching into our church. And then once we are invested in, we take that energy and we reach back out into our community. Now, a lot of times people think, oh, well, when we talk about community, that's real limiting, right? No, community is not limiting at all. In fact, community can be not just here in Shawboro, but it can be in Currituck. It can be in Eastern North Carolina. It can be in North Carolina. It can be in the Eastern United States. It can be in the whole continental United States. It can be in the intercontinental United States. It could be across the globe, whatever it looks like, because where there are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are reaching out to them and we are helping them do the work of the gospel. So we are always reaching out to the community. Now, do we concentrate a lot into where God has placed us? Yeah. There is a role and responsibility for the local congregation to first and foremost take care of its own backyard before it begins to try and desperately take on the world. And I think sometimes we put the cart before the horse. We want to take on the world and do mission work across the world. But yet when it comes to reaching across the grass and shaking our neighbor's hand, or when it's going across the street and delivering cookies to our neighbor, or serving those within our community in a certain way, we tend to step back and think, well, they can take care of that on their own, or somebody else will take care of that. And you're right. Somebody else might take care of it. But we're not asking somebody else to take care of it. We're asking ourselves, hey, whether somebody else does something or not is of no concern for us. We must be concerned with what we are doing. And so the goal there is we share the love of Christ by reaching out into our community. And again, this expands out far beyond just where God has placed us. But our concentration is right here. And so I love this statement. I think it really does edify a lot of who we are as a church. And one of the things I think it does too is it helps us look forward. Because when you know and you, like we talked about yesterday, when you know and understand your purpose, and when you know your direction, and you know kind of the intention of what you're doing, then it's easier to pay attention to the things that you need to pay attention to. One of the things that I love is understanding the way that groups think and the way that groups work. And you may not think about it, but you might have seen it multiple times of when we think about things like herd mentality, or there's group dynamics where the actions of the group are usually dependent upon the attitude of the group as a whole. But these things also exist within inside the walls of any and every church in our community and in our area and across our state, across the globe. Is there is group dynamics that work and take place. And one of the interesting things I always think about is some of the work that's been done a long time ago in studying groups that deal specifically with the focus on attention and purpose. See, many times groups get focused in on a purpose and they understand their original purpose and why they're there and why they meet together. But over time, distractions come in to that purpose and distractions come into that group. And slowly the group begins to adopt these distractions as fact or as a part of what they're there to do. So what happens is somebody new comes into the group. And then they began to steer the group back to its original purpose. Well, one of the things that the group does is they get anxious about moving from what they believe is their intended purpose to moving back towards their original purpose. So instead of adopting a set of rules to say, or a set of thoughts to say, hey, maybe we are off course. And maybe we need to listen and move back in the direction we need to do to go. Instead, through a process of anxiety, they take that person who's trying to steer them back to their original purpose, person or persons, and they dismiss them from the group as a whole, because now the distraction has taken precedent over the original purpose. And I think so many times in the church, this is the truth of what happens. We understand what we are supposed to be doing as a church. The Bible is very clear about what the church's role and responsibility should be. It's clear about the things of our character. It's clear about the things of our morality. It is black and white. It is not, there's no gray area within there, but the Bible speaks true and it speaks clear to what we need to do as an individual and as a church moving forward. What happens is, though we know that is our original purpose, and we know the purpose that Jesus has for us, to be his church, his people, his bride, there's many times where we get distracted from that, and we walk away from it, and we lose sight of our original purpose, and we quit thinking about reaching in and reaching out. Instead, what we think about is how to maintain, and how to keep things moving, and how to keep the machine going. And what does is it brings us into a process of anxiety where when somebody comes in to try to help encourage us to get back to our original purpose, that at times, instead of adopting that and saying, you're right, we need to do that, people are more apt to say, no, this is what we're going to do now. You can get on our bus or you can get off. I'll be honest with you. I think that the church in America today needs to get on the bus that Jesus is driving, and not the bus that leaders are driving. I think the church in America desperately needs to get back on the bus that Jesus is driving. And when we begin to do that, when we remind ourselves that he is the head of what we do, and that he is the purpose that we seek, it helps us better do these things in this purpose statement. It helps us better reach into our community, and it helps us better or into our church and reach out to our community. And so you're going to hear me saying that a lot over the months and months and months and years to come, that we are to be a church that's reaching in and reaching out. And that's just going to be what we talk about regularly. So to kind of real quick personalize this, and maybe this is something that you are thinking, well, that's cool, Charles. Like, I'm really excited for the organization, but how does this help me? Well, just like every organization has a purpose that they give attention to, you also as an individual should have a purpose that you give your attention to. And this looks different for everyone. It's not the same for everybody, but let me just ask you this. If I were to ask you, what is your purpose as an individual? What is your purpose? How would you define that? Would it be things that are based around your abilities and skills? Would it be things that are based around your family? Would it be things based around your work? Would it be things based around your home? What is your purpose? I think as Christians, we understand what our purpose is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is what you need your purpose to be. Because for certain people in their relationship with Christ, he gives them different giftings and he gives them a vision that, though might be similar, your purpose might look different than my purpose. And your purpose might feel and operate in a different spectrum than mine. So I want to always encourage you of this. If you're listening to this, ask yourself, what is my purpose? And how would I define that? There's a few steps that you can do to do this. And number one is pray. Just pray. And where you're at right now, or when you get to your destination, before you go into work, before you go into school, or before you go into the house, whatever that looks like, maybe just take a few moments and pray and say, God, what is my purpose? What do you have me here to do? And spend some time just talking with him and allowing him to speak to your heart. Because when you pray and you open his word, he's going to reveal to you things that you need to know. And then I think the second thing is evaluate. Like, evaluate your family time. Evaluate just your time. Evaluate your surroundings. Evaluate all of these things and begin to ask and say, okay, does this reflect my purpose? If say your purpose is to spend more time with your family, but yet you find yourself out away from them all the time, and you find yourself caught up at work where you're staying longer hours than you need to, or you find yourself running off and chasing after things that aren't your family, then my question is this: does that really fit into your purpose? You say, well, Charles, we need self-care. I agree. I think self-care is important. But are you sacrificing time with your family to do that? Are you sacrificing time with your family because of your job or your extracurriculars, or maybe you just don't want to? You know, if you, let's just take it for even this, when you're at home, say you want to spend more time with your family, that's your purpose. Your purpose is to be a father who focuses on his family and leads them to Christ. You can't do that staring at your phone for 3 hours when you get home, or going and turning on your PlayStation or your Xbox and spending 5 hours in front of there while your family's doing life together and you're in another room. I just don't think you can do that. So you have to be able to say, okay, if I want to be a great father and husband, then this is what I need. Ladies, it's the same thing. I think if you're saying I want to be, my purpose is to be a mom who is present in my family and leads them into relationship with Christ, you can't do that when you are constantly being distracted. So you have to evaluate your surroundings. What's your distractions? What's keeping you from doing that purpose? And then I think from there, you have to decide, you know, okay, if these are the things that are going to interfere with me doing my purpose, then I need to get rid of those things. And if these are the things that I need to be doing in order for my purpose to be successful, then I'm going to start adopting these things and I'm going to make these things happen. Decision is not always getting rid of. Decision can also be adding on to. And it may be that you've already gotten rid of a lot of distractions and now you're trying to figure out, well, what do I add on? As you pray and evaluate, then decide. And then the last thing is this: shift your attention. All right. Shifting your attention means that what used to absorb your time and your energy and your attention, you're now shifting that into something else. And you're saying, this is more important now because my purpose is this. I've evaluated, I've decided, And now I'm going to begin adjusting in a shift of my life towards what matters, right? So it may mean that if you say, you know, I want to be able to be home on time so I can spend more time with my family, then shift your attention to where during that day you find a good stopping point to say, this is where I'm going to stop today. And then I'm going to be in the process of closing up and heading home so I can be home at a good time. Maybe you guys want to spend more family time together, doing things together. And so family movie nights are a great way to do that. Family game nights, just going in the backyard and building something or tearing something down or, you know, breaking something apart, just whatever you can do, intentionally finding time to do that. So, that's very, broad because it really just defines what I think that it could be an idea of yours, but the truth is it's between you and God. Once you define your purpose, then you need to better understand that this is how that works. If your purpose is to share the love of Christ more with people, all right, then you need to pray and decide how you're going to do that. Evaluate what's keeping you from doing that and then shift your attention and focus in on what that looks like. I don't know. This is just something that I think is a way that we can understand from our personal side how purpose works in us personally. So again, just to leave you with this, what does your personal purpose look like? I would just encourage you to spend some time discovering that and investigating that this week and maybe ask God, you know, what does this look like for me? All right. So again, we take a little break from family this week. We're going to jump back into it next week, talking more about family dynamics, especially in relationship to the leadership within the home. I think that's an important piece to talk about. I might see if I can get Melina to jump back in, or I might see if I can get somebody else to hop in on an interview for the next one. But be looking out for that. And also don't forget, Trunk or Treat on the 31st of October. Get signed up for that. Bring whatever random car you can to decorate, and then be preparing as we just pray about what a worship night looks like. Just focus in, be ready. It's going to be a great time as we prepare for the holidays here at Providence. So, Providence family, it's been good talking to you, and I hope you have a great week.